It's always a happy day when it is Wednesday, because it's time for Sounds Like Change with our very special guests. Emily's List. This week, we have got Christina Reynolds. She's the Vice President of Communications and Content at Emily's List. Frequent guest. Really great to have you back, Christina. Thanks so much for making time.
Great to be back. Always happy to chat with you, Maggie. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So we've got 19 freshman Democratic women that have joined the 119th Congress, which gaveled in on January 3rd. Why is this a big deal?
It's a big deal for a couple of reasons. The first is what it means in the bigger picture. You may have seen some stories, and it is true that the number of women in Congress overall went down. The record high was 152. We will now be at 150. And that's, that is unfortunate. When we're talking about 150 over out of a much larger number, we want those numbers to continue to go up. But what is important is that the number, or one thing that is important anyway, is the number of Democratic women has gone up. And we continue to make progress, to keep moving that ball, to keep moving that that number, because of organizations like Emily's List, because we make an effort, and we do that for an important reason. It is not because we are, because we think women would do a nice job in office. We know that.
Oh, that is true.
Oh, that is true. We know they would. And the women that we have elected have done amazing things and continue to do amazing things. We do it because we believe that our government should look like the people that it governs. And we do it because, quite honestly, the government in this country isn't made for women. It isn't made for anyone who's not an old, white, usually rich guy. Yeah. That is literally who created the government. That is who they developed it to work for them, and they developed it to work for their issues. And when we get these women in office, we change that. We change the way government works, and we change who government works for. And so that's why it's important.
Yeah, there's a really big, big picture here. And I think that is when folks talk with derision about DEI, right? Right. That's the point that gets missed. And a woman, all else being equal, is more likely than a man to actually show up and represent middle-class interests, right? Because the system was created by older, richer, whiter, male, right? If the system is created by those people, whether by intentional design or benign neglect or blinders, it's going to work best for the people that designed it image, if you will, right? So it's really, really critical, though the discussion doesn't end simply because it's a woman.
No.
How does this compare to Democratic representation of women in years prior? Because it seems to me Democrats are making some big strides.
We really are. So Emily's List, we turned 40 this year.
Happy birthday, Emily's List.
I want us to make a t-shirt that says, Lordy, Lordy, Emily's 40. And that has been rejected. I'm told that's not cool.
Oh, come on.
No, what are you going to do? But in those 40 years, I want to take a step back and say, when Emily's List started, there were the percentage of the Democratic caucus that was women was less than 5%. Mm-hmm. It is now almost 45%. So we still have room to grow, but that's a huge movement. Also, when we started, there were 25 women in Congress and 13 of those were Republicans. There were actually more Republican women than Democratic.
Wild.
But let's also look at who we have elected. We have elected the first women in their 30s to Congress. Yeah. We have elected, which matters, by the way, if you've ever watched a hearing, and you hear old guys talking about the internet, and the series of tubes.
It's a series of tubes.
We need people who actually understand what people are going through working on this. We have elected a number of LGBTQ people. We have elected working moms, you know, who understand some of those challenges. We have elected, for example, more Black women who have brought attention to issues like the Black maternal mortality crisis in this country. All of these things matter. And many of these things were not being addressed when people in there, and it's, I'm not saying, you know, this is not saying that an old white guy can't care about the issues of a young, for example, woman of color or an LGBTQ woman. Sure, they can. But you get those issues addressed, you get them addressed more authentically, you know, more at the heart of the issue, and you get them addressed more when you are truly representative in our representative government.
It's fascinating to be having this discussion with you at this moment, Christina, because here in Wisconsin, Republicans have refused to permit voters to exercise the same power that they as legislators do to bring questions of referendum to voters. And the biggest glaring sore thumb problem with that is that Wisconsin voters and Wisconsin women overwhelmingly support reproductive freedom and reproductive choice. And yet what we're going to see on the ballot this April isn't giving voters in the state of Wisconsin the right to either say yay or nay over reproductive choice and freedom. No, the constitutional amendment that we're going to see on the ballot come this April is some gobbledygook designed to confuse voters about increasing barriers to people being able to vote. It's exactly what you're talking about at in action and at play. What does it mean to have these Emily's List endorsed candidates joining Congress as we go into this second Trump presidency under this Republican trifecta for people and families here in the state of Wisconsin?
It means that they will continue to do the work and to raise the issues. We're not going to, you know, right now we don't have a majority in either body of Congress. And so there's a lot that we won't win. But I'm going to tell you, if you watched, for example, Pete Hegseth's confirmation hearing yesterday.
And unfortunately, I did. Yes.
Right. And what you saw, you know, I was incredibly interested. Obviously, there's a lot that got brought up there, and there's a lot that's wrong with this guy's record. But one of the things that I was most grateful for was new Senator Alyssa Slotkin, who has worked under four secretaries of the defense, Republican and Democrat, who has worked in that space and who raised questions of, what if she got him to acknowledge that the president could ask for something from members of the military that was unconstitutional, but he refused to answer whether he would follow that order. I am glad that's on the record. I am glad that people are seeing what the threat is. I am glad that you know, that members of the committee made him answer questions like, should women be in combat? I am glad that Mazie Hirono asks every single nominee, have you ever sexually harassed someone? And, you know, have you ever covered it up? Right? That is an important question. And that question didn't always get asked until Mazie Hirono made it her business. And so we may not win every fight, but what matters is that these questions are getting asked. And my hope is, listen, I don't think he's qualified to be Secretary of Defense. As a daughter of a Marine and someone who cares very much about what happens to our military, but I certainly hope that this opened his eyes, that people are watching. I certainly hope he knows that in Alyssa Slotkin, he has someone who would work with him to do good things for the military, but will be watching to make sure that he doesn't do unconstitutional things with the military.
It was that hearing was such a study, frankly, in gendered communication. If that is your, there was a lot of kind of how dare you, a lot of non-responsiveness, a lot of bluster instead of content. And listen, I don't like Pam Bondi as an AG, but if you stack up that confirmation hearing with Pete Hegseth's, it's like she's just way more responsive. She pivots to the talking point, but she was at least responsive. Less talking over senators. Still some, but less. More grist for the mill, more substance. So to me, there is a bigger picture. And yes, I am all about supporting, especially Democratic pro-choice candidates.
Yes.
But even if you step back and you say, I'm a conservative, those aren't principles I agree with. You can see the difference. Like Pam Bondi, better nominee than Pete Hegseth by leaps and bounds on almost every metric. And oh yeah, without the history of boorish alcoholic behavior and harassment and sexually explicit banter. I mean, all of it. So it matters for conservatives, which brings me to this next question. How's it going for Republican women in Congress?
It's not going that well, unfortunately. One of the things that we're seeing, and this gets to the point of this is why on Emily's list, it does take deliberate effort. It does take work. Because while we know that if women are set up and, you know, if women are given an equal playing field, they can win in both parties, right?
Yes.
They're given an equal playing field, they make great candidates and they tell the stories well and they get out and they do the work. And they can raise the money, which is something that we used to hear. But it does take deliberate effort because these systems are not made for us. And what has happened on the Republican side is they had some efforts. Elise Stefanik is one of the people who made some efforts. They made some efforts at recruiting. They made some efforts at doing it, and they've fallen back.
Yep.
And, you know, we have kept doing it. We have kept making it a priority. That's why Emily's List exists. And I'm very proud of the work that we've done and the way that we have made this Congress so much better by electing these amazing women.
Folks, her name is Christina Reynolds. She's the Senior VP of Communications and Content for Emily's List. Good friend of the show. She's here at Emily's List, sometimes not Christina, with me every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for Sounds Like Change. We're going to have to take care of a little business. We're going to come right back with Christina. We're going to talk also about, hey, how are Republican women doing in the state of Wisconsin? If it's not going so well on the national level, what's happening right here at home? What does that mean for you, and what's next for all of us, each and every one of you and your families? Keep it locked. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.